Well, good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Jen Hare, and today I've got my two children with me, Christopher and Dahlia. So we're going to speak just for a few minutes this morning about our ongoing partnership with Greencastle Elementary School. So first, as you may know, for the past several weeks in August, we've been collecting donations of school supplies. So those supplies were officially dropped off this past week and delivered to families in need on Friday. So as you can see from the photo, we were able to collect 9 full boxes and 3 bags of supplies. So thank you so much for your generosity. As the new school year will be kicking off on Tuesday, we're also continuing another year of our participation in the Food and Backpacks program. And so this is a program designed to help out with some of the food scarcity issues that might be present in our community. In this program, we send students home with what we call food kits, which are just bags of a combination of non-perishable, nutritious foods and snacks that those students take home with them in their backpacks on Friday to share with their families and supplement weekend meals. So Dahlia and Chris are here going to demonstrate some of the types of food we might find in those kits. So we may have things like
mac and cheese.
Okay, Chris, do you want to grab something? Go ahead. How about this? What's that? What is it? Is it corn? Okay. Or things like corn, vegetables.
Granola bars.
Yeah. And we might even have some yummy oranges. So whenever possible, we try to pick nutritious options. So look for things that are maybe organic or whole grain or fruits that are packed in juice instead of syrup. So with this program, there will be a collection area out in the front commons every Sunday during the school year. There's a little area on the welcome table that you can find some additional information. There's a sign-up sheet if you're planning to donate, and then also some sample lists of example items to have in the food kits. Along with this program, we make donations of all of our food kits once a month to Greencastle. We've committed to at least 25 kits a month, but thanks to, again, everyone's generosity, we've been able to exceed that figure every single month. This year, we're looking for an additional volunteer who might be able to help with that once-a-month drop-off, which would be during a weekday. So if you have any questions about the program or if you think you might be able to help with that monthly drop-off, please see me or you can also talk to Ruth Campbell after the service. All right, thanks.
As we start a new year, we want to ask God to bless all of the kids, teachers, and other staff going back to school. Please, join us in saying the prayer on the screens. We will read the parts marked leader, and please join us where it says all.
God of all people, bless each student at the beginning of the school year. Let them enjoy learning and keep them safe.
God, thank you for being with us always.
God of all wisdom, bless those who work in schools. Give them strength and patience and joy in their work.
Help us support one another. We pray for every child in this region, that each one would grow and flourish. Challenge us to care for all of our schools. Help us see each other as our brothers and sisters and celebrate our differences. We welcome more peace, and joy into our schools. May we be bearers of your light in this world. Amen.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Good morning. My my name's Ruth. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to get to tell today's story, which is a miracle story of Jesus. But I am going to need a lot of help. The story is about a big crowd of people, so I need all the kids, please, to come to the front and help me act out the story. Give you a moment. Come on. Everybody, please, please, please. I won't make you do anything embarrassing. You can come and sit right here just for a second. Let's sit right here, Dahlia. Thank you for being brave coming out. Come on. Everybody forward. I'm going to need lots of volunteers. Awesome. You sit right there, buddy. Okay, that works too. Have a seat. Have a seat. But you can't see me. You need to turn around. Guys, sit on the ground and look this way. Approach me. Come this way.
Sit on the rug.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Turn that way and look at her so you're looking.
Awesome. Almost a big crowd of people. Not... So, oh, we got some more. Good, good, good. Yes. All right. Okay. So this obviously is a story about Jesus because we're at church, right? Turn around, girls. I know you know what you are. You trouble. I know you're trouble. All right. We're ready. So this is a story about Jesus. So I need a volunteer to be Jesus. A volunteer who can read. Can I have a volunteer who... Awesome. Come on. We'll give you a shirt so we remember who you are. This is a Jesus shirt, just in case we forget who you're being. Jesus always wore a shirt like this. Funny fact. People don't always know that. Can you put your arms in? All right. There we go, Jesus. That's exactly what you look like. Okay. Great. So... this story takes place when... No, you can stay up here, Jesus. Thank you. This story takes place when Jesus and his closest friend... when Jesus' closest friends had just come back from a trip, a really, really cool trip, right? Lots of amazing things had happened on this trip. And so his really good friends called his disciples, they came back and wanted to tell Jesus all about it. Now, how many disciples were there? Does anybody know? Yes. 12 disciples. Jesus had lots and lots of followers and friends, but he had 12 very close buddies called his disciples. So I'm going to need some... okay, I don't have enough props for 12, so maybe we'll have two disciples. Okay, have two people. One, two. All right, very brave. Thank you. You can. So you've just got back from a trip, so you're going to need a hat. That's not your color. I don't care if it's your color. Just put it on. And some sunglasses. You look beautiful. You've got... All right. Sunglasses. Excellent. Selfie stick. There you go. You really don't want to wear that hat, do you? It's beautiful. Come on. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. All right, disciples. So over here. So you've just got back from your trip. Come over here. So you want to tell Jesus all about it. So come over here. You say this line for me. Big loud voice.
Come and look our photos, Gita. Come and look at our photos, Gita.
All right, come and look at our photos, Jesus. So go show Jesus your photos. Okay, so they're very excited because they've just had this really cool trip. Awesome, I love it when they're overactors. So you've just got, you don't look very excited. You just got back from a really cool trip. I can tell that hat is not suiting you, is it? Okay, but you're really excited because you've had this great trip. Can you look excited? Do they look excited? Do you? No, come on. Look excited. You're really excited. You're really excited. Okay, right. Maybe not. So they're telling everybody about that. Now, everyone in the village, that's all you guys... you all want to hear about this trip too, and you really want to talk to Jesus. So you can come on up and talk to Jesus, talk to the guys about their trip, lots of people coming and going. You can talk to Jesus, ask him how he's doing. Everybody loved talking to Jesus. You didn't love talking to Jesus, did you? Come on. No? Okay, well, there's always one. Okay, so they're all talking to Jesus. But the thing is that the disciples, they've just come back from this trip, they're really exhausted. They're really exhausted and they're very hungry because they didn't have time to eat because they were rushing around doing all this cool stuff on their trip. So, Jesus says,
come on, friends, let's get in the boat and get away to the other side of the lake to rest.
Awesome. So we're going to turn this into a lake. So, villagers, you back up over there, transform this scene. Yes, that's what that was. Okay, step back because you'll get wet otherwise. All right, here's our lake. Here's our boat. So Jesus and the disciples got into their fishing boat, the real blessed. Hi, one in. Now, actually, the boat might have been a little bit bigger than this, possibly, but there you go. This will walk with us. You're in. You know what? Well, we can just leave that here. Well, you need to row. You've got to row to the other side of the lake. Can you row? You're not moving. You have to row harder than that. 7 miles to get to the other side of the lake. Now, villagers, you're not done talking. You wanted to talk to Jesus. So you want to get to the other side of the lake too, but you haven't got a boat. So the villagers decided that they would hurry, walking, not running, 9 miles around the top of the lake to get to the other side. So can you all hurry that way? All around the back of the chairs to get to the other side of the lake. Off you go. That way. That way. Do you want to go, buddy? You want to go with them? Oh, improvising. I like that. Okay. Very good. All right. Awesome. Jesus can see why you're in charge. All right. So they made it to the other side. Yeah, he probably was walking on water. Very good. All right. Give it a go. Very good. And they arrived at the other side and went up a mountain. No expense spared on this plot, on the props this week. And Jesus sat down on the mountain, and the disciples sat down very close to the mountain, but not on the mountain because I think it might break. All right. And, oh, look, the crowd has arrived. Now, Jesus actually was very tired, and Jesus wanted to get away because he's actually had some really terrible news about someone he loved very much who just died. But when he saw all the people, even though he was tired and sad, he was very moved with compassion. He cared about them. He thought that they looked lost, looked like they needed someone to teach them. And so he started to teach them and to tell them stories and to heal all the people who were sick, to make them better. So there were lots and lots of people in this crowd. So let's see how many people we've got. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people in our crowd. Is that right?
No.
No. What went wrong?
You didn't count all the people.
I only counted the boys. How silly is that to only count the boys? Very silly to only count the boys, but we'll get back to that in a minute. Yes. The 17. Okay, great. Well, in this crowd, in our story, when Jesus was there, there were 5,000 men, plus all the women and the children. So that's probably somewhere in the region of 15,000 to 20,000 people. That's a lot of people, right? That's hard to imagine. Sorry?
On Earth?
On Earth? No, a lot more than that on Earth. But just talking to Jesus that day, probably about 15,000 to 20,000 people. Okay, we'll get back to that later, okay? So that's like every seat in the church having 70 people sat on it. That probably doesn't help at all. This is 20,000 people. It's a lot of people. Can you see that? A lot of people. So, Jesus starts to teach them and to tell them stories and to make them better. And he did this for a very long, long, long time until it started to go dark. Not that dark, Jeff, thank you. Just a little bit. All right, so it started to go dark.
Again.
No, we're not going to do it again. Don't encourage him. Now, the disciples, if you remember, were really tired and hungry even before they got in the boat. That's why they got in the boat and went away, because they were tired and hungry. So what do you think they feel like now? Really tired, really hungry. Can you? Oh, wow, she's very tired. Are you very tired and hungry? Really tired and hungry. Okay, they're really tired and hungry. And one of the disciples said this. Not that one. Not that one. Said this.
I wish Jesus would stop talking. I want to go to McDonald's and go to bed.
Using the Message version, obviously. So, they wanted Jesus to stop talking, but Jesus just kept on talking and talking and telling stories. Now, so how are they going to make him stop? Yes. Now, at Cedar Ridge, we never, ever have anyone who goes on talking and talking and talking. Are you laughing? We're always very brief. But if anyone were to do that, we actually have a special way of telling them to stop. So if you look at the back, you can see a yellow light just came on. That yellow light means wrap it up. We're done, we're getting hungry. And then if they still keep going, we actually have a red light. Can you see that, guys? We have a red light that means we really want to go home. Shut up, please. But you know what? We almost never use those lights. Well, be quiet. That was a bit rude, wasn't it? Well, and that's the point, right? We never use those lights because it's really kind of rude to tell people to stop talking when they're giving a message, right? That would be really rude, wouldn't it? Don't you think? Yeah. It would be really... Also, we found that people who talk too much take absolutely no notice of the lights at the back, which is another reason. But mainly we don't use them because it would be kind of rude. So what are the disciples going to do? They want Jesus to stop talking. They're hungry and tired. Well, I think they came up with a plan. And they said this.
Excuse me, Jesus. The people are really hungry.
Ah, clever. The people are really hungry. Not us. We're loving this teaching. We love that you're giving a whole series of sermons all in one day. Fantastic. We could sit here all night and listen, but the people are getting very hungry and they're tired. So maybe you could just wrap it up and let them go to the nearest town where maybe there's a McDonald's. So what did Jesus say to that?
You give them food to eat.
Right, you care about them so much. Don't send them away. You give them some food. Ooh, I don't think that was the response you wanted, was it? So, what food have you got?
An apple.
Have you? Stop with your imagination. Anything? No food. You haven't got any food because you're hungry, right? If you'd got food, you would have eaten it, right? So you don't have any food. Okay. Well, that's not very good. What are we going to do with these 15 to 12? All right. You need to sit over here, buddy. Thank you. On the floor. Right there. There we go. All right. You remember the story. Oh, you'll know what to do then, won't you? All right. So just. Okay. So, you don't have any food. Maybe you could buy some food. How much money have you got? None? Nothing. Well, that's no good. Well, I did the math, and if there was a Costco's just down the hillside that had their cheapest little rolls that were only like that big, and they sold them in bulk with free delivery, you would need... Wow. You found the hole in my story. All right, but anyway, apart from that, if there had been a Costco's that sold the cheapest with free delivery, you'd need $4,000 to give everybody just a little roll. Have you got $4,000?
Nope.
No. That would be a lot. That would have been. And as you rightly point out, there was no Costco. So even if you'd got some money, where would you get all that bread from? Well, some people think that there was a boy. Oh, maybe there was a boy. Hey, Ethan, you want to be my boy? No. Okay, somebody else. A little boy. You don't need to be able to read for this. So it's. All right, come on. Maybe there was an enterprising young chap who decided that he would bring some food to sell. What have you got to sell there?
I have some... I have some fresh bread and some fresh fish.
Awesome. But you've been selling this all day. Now, some people think this was a boy who just brought his lunch. Could have been, or he could have been selling it. We don't know. All right, but you've been selling this all day, so what have you got left? Can you open it?
Oh, I have some bread and some tuna.
Some tuna. How many tunas have you got?
I have two tunas.
Two cans of tuna? You want to hold those up?
I have two cans of tuna.
And how many pieces of... All right, all right. See the money before you take those. Thank you. Back off. How much bread have you got? You can take them out and count them. Take them out.
Three, four, five, six.
Six? Hey.
She's 7'9".
How many have you got?
I have five.
Five. Five loaves and two fish. Awesome. Good. Right. So, disciples, come over here. Disciples.
Where did they go?
Disciples. What do you think? Is there enough here to feed 20,000 people? What do you think?
Yes.
No.
No. No. No.
Nope.
No.
Oh, okay. Totally a lamb, a lamb, lamb, a lamb.
So what are you going to do about it? Maybe you should go tell Jesus. So let's go tell Jesus. Can you sit down? Thank you.
There's a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish, but what are they among so many people?
Awesome. What are they among so many people? And Jesus said,
make the people sit down in the on the grass in the groups of about 50.
That was a weird thing to say. Make people sit in groups of 50. All right, disciples, we don't have 20,000 people here, so why don't you put people into groups of five? Disciples, go put people into groups of five.
1,000 people here.
Disciple, I know you're tired and hungry, but can you go get people into groups of five? Put them into groups of five. All right. Put people into groups of five. Okay, we're not doing this very well. Can you imagine for a moment getting 20,000 people into groups of 50? We can't even manage groups of five here, mind you. There were perhaps a little bit better discipline than some of these. All right, okay. So then, Jesus took one of the breads. Can I have one of the breads? Well, actually, took all the bread, but let's just take one of them. And he blessed it. Can you sit down, guys?
Yeah.
Listen. Oh, we'll have to see. Not on the mountain, because it's a little bit fragile. Oh, okay. So, okay, fine. This is what they used to say to bless food.
Made out of stone.
It would be, wouldn't it? This one's not, though. All right, this is what it said.
Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
Great. And then he broke the bread in half. Very carefully. Very good. That was really a half. And gave half each to the two disciples. There's one. Go get a half. Where's the other? Oh, there you go. There you go. And, all right, so you're ready now, right? So that's plenty, isn't it, to feed everybody? 20,000 people. Let's see, we've got five loaves, so that's 10 halves. So each one of these you need to feed 2,000 people with. Is that good?
No.
But Jesus has blessed it. Must be enough. Should we ask him to bless it again? Doesn't look very much, does it?
No.
No. Okay, well, what are we going to do? And yet we read that all the people had enough to eat, and there were leftovers, 12 big bags of leftovers. Now, we don't know exactly what happened. Maybe some of them didn't want any. Maybe some of them said things like this.
I can't eat gluten.
Or this.
I'm vegan.
Or the fish. Oh.
I had fish for lunch.
Right. So that was probably, what, like 3,000 people. But what about the rest? How come everybody had enough to eat with leftovers? Well, we don't really know what happened. Maybe the disciples took their empty baskets and put their bread in and thought, oh, well, you know what? We'll just give it a try. Well, I'm just going to do one. Because you would have your own basket. And maybe they went down to the crowd and they said, take a little bit. Take a little bit. Are you going to eat all that? There you go. Take a little bit. Take a little. Oh, we've run out. Sorry, bud. We've run out. Oh, wait a minute. There's more in here. Aww. Aww. Where did that come from? And wait, there's more in here. And there's more in here. And maybe that's what happened. Maybe. We don't know. So everybody got fed. It's bread, guys. Don't go wild. It's not that great. I don't know what allergies you've got, and I don't want your parents telling me off afterwards, so you don't need to eat it. So everybody got fed and weren't hungry anymore. So how do you think the people felt after they got fed? If you want to. Yummy. They could have felt yummy. How do you think they would feel if they were really hungry and Jesus fed them? How do you think they felt? Oh, I'm getting no cooperation here. They probably felt very happy, right? Would you feel happy if you got fed? Yes. Okay, thank you. Some of them said this.
Someone's got to have it.
Jesus must be very special. Let's make him king.
Let's make him king. Let's force him to be king. Well, Jesus did so he can feed us every day, right? Jesus didn't want to be king, so he went off into the mountain. Or maybe in our case, he hid behind the mountain. Can you hide behind the mountain? And that's the end of our story. Hooray! All right. So, kids, you can put the bread down. Before you go back to your seats, listen carefully. Oh, we have piles of leftovers. Before you go back to your seats, if you want to, you can grab a coloring sheet over there or a question sheet to fill in the blanks. If you bring it back to me at the end and you've completed it, if you bring it back to me, I will give you a fish. Not tuna fish, a candy fish, okay? So take one and off you go. As they say, never work with children and animals, right? That was awesome, Jesus. Thank you. All right, so what are we to make of all that, other than don't work with children? Well, I think there are a few things that we can learn from this. The first one is that God provides. God gives us what we need. And God doesn't just provide a little bit. God provides abundantly. God gives us everything we need and then some more. There wasn't just enough food to go around in that story. There were 12 big baskets of leftovers. And although in this story we only had 2 disciples, remember we said that actually there were 12 disciples. So 12 hungry disciples not only got fed, but it seems they each got to take home a big bag, a big basket full of leftovers. God provides abundantly. And because God gives us everything we need, we don't need to worry. Some people think that this miracle happened after the Sermon on the Mount, that famous teaching that Jesus gave that we read of in Matthew's Gospel. And maybe it did, or maybe it was another time. But even so, Jesus obviously used to tell a lot of the same stories and give the same teaching again and again. So on part of the Sermon on the Mount, or probably on this day too, Jesus said something like this. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Don't worry, says Jesus. God will take care of you. God will provide for you. And this miracle, I think, is a wonderful illustration of that teaching. Second, God provides in surprising ways. In our story today, it seems like God provided food pretty much from nowhere. There was a little bit of food, 2 fish, 5 loaves, and then suddenly there was a lot of food, maybe enough for 15 or 20,000 people. It was a miracle, and we can't explain exactly what happened. Now, personally, I have never seen something appear poof, out of nowhere, like a magic trick. But I have seen God provide. Now, if God wanted to make something magically appear, I have no doubt that God could do that. But one way I've seen God provide for me much more commonly, which I actually don't think is any less miraculous, is through weird coincidences. When I've really needed something and I've prayed about it and nothing has appeared out of nowhere, but somehow, in some other way, I've got what I needed. For example, when I was a little kid, my family was very poor. And at one point, we didn't have enough money coming in to be able to buy food. And my mom has a bunch of stories about how she would go down to the stores with almost no money and just be praying and, what am I going to do? How am I going to feed the children? And she would get there and they'd be having some ridiculous super clearance sale on just the things she was looking for. Or she'd walk past the store and the manager would be throwing out, oh, all these cookies got broken, I need to throw them out. You don't want them, do you? Those kind of stories where God provided, or she would say that God provided through these coincidences so many times, and there was always enough to eat. My husband Ben and I have a similar experience. We were trying to buy our first home. We had come back from Africa where we'd been living. We didn't have much money, but we saved as hard as we could, we needed to get a place to live. And we were about $2,000 short for a down payment to get a mortgage. And we were really anxious. We didn't really listen to that teaching about not worrying. We were worrying. But then Ben's mom reminded Ben that he had an account from being a kid where birthday money had gone in and grandmas and aunts and stuff had put money in. And he'd forgotten all about it. He'd not used it for years and years and years and years. And in that account was just enough for us to be able to get the down payment. Now, whether or not that was, strictly speaking, a miracle, it sure felt like one to us. We learned that day that God provides. We also learned that Ben should not be in charge of our financial management, but that's another story. But I'm sure we all have had experiences like that, those weird coincidences when God provides. Even things we do for one another can feel like a miracle. I received a request in the mail this week that said, your help is a miracle. Please give generously. Is that a miracle for me to give? Well, I guess if everyone responded to that, that actually would be a miracle. We, in fact, had our own miracle here this last month. You may remember we set a very ambitious giving goal of $73,000 for the month of August so that we would hit our year giving goal. And we were thrilled to announce this week, if you saw Matthew's email, that we actually surpassed that goal by $725, which is a miracle. It's amazing. And the good news is that today starts a new financial year, so it's a new opportunity for a whole new miracle, too. And in fact, this story of the five loaves and the two fish is sometimes interpreted this way. Some people think it is a miracle of people's hearts being changed. They say it's very unlikely that 20,000 people would walk 9 miles around a lake to a deserted place and none of them would bring food. That doesn't seem very likely. And so the miracle is that people went from keeping what they had and saying we don't have anything to share to actually sharing what they had. Now, I'm not saying that is what happened. I wasn't there. I don't know. But the challenge for me is that when I read this story, my gut reaction is that Jesus physically multiplying bread and loaves is much more impressive and much more important and really what a miracle should be rather than people's hearts being changed. And yet I know that that's not what Jesus taught and that's not what Jesus was about. Physical miracles are not more important than lives being changed. Perhaps sometimes I look for the wrong kind of miracles. Which leads me to my third point, which is I think that the most common way that God provides is through community. I think it's interesting that Jesus didn't pull an Oprah here. He didn't say, look under the rock you're sitting on, and you've got a fish, and you've got a fish, and you've got a fish. Didn't do that. Jesus put people into groups of about 50. He made little communities. Groups of 50 actually reflect how Israel was first governed and administered in the old days when they came out of Egypt and started as a nation. And we noted when we were acting out the story that the writers only counted the men, which seems rather silly to us. And it could have been that that was just the custom of the day, or it could have been intentional, because 5,000 men sounds an awful lot like a legion, a unit in the Roman army. But the words in our story to describe these groups of people are not military terms, although military terms are used elsewhere. They're not here military terms. The two terms are used. The first is symposia, which means dinner parties. This is a painting from a little bit before the time of Jesus of a symposium. Here you can see it's a dinner party. The second term that's used in this story is prasia, which means vegetable pots, or in fact, literally, it means beds of leeks. Leeks, if you're not sure what they are, they're kind of like onions. And they were, and they still are, planted in rows so that they will grow properly. So like dinner parties where people eat together and like vegetables that grow alongside one another, community seems to me to be God's favorite way of providing. It can be really hard to be generous with people we don't know, people we've never met, but people who are sat right with us, people that we see are in need, that can stir something in us that we want to share. Generosity grows in community. And then fourthly and lastly, God provides through me, and God provides through you. God provides through every single one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, from the one who's got the most time and energy and resources and skills to the one who thinks, I don't have anything to share. God provides through us all. When the people got hungry, the disciples wanted to send them away for them to go and find their own food. Now, I don't think that's because the disciples were mean. I'm sure it seemed the sensible thing to do, even the kind thing to do. Send them away. Let them take care of themselves, because we've only got 2 fish and 5 loaves, and that's not enough. And I think we probably do the same thing sometimes. We decide we don't have enough time and energy and resources and love. We exclude people. We send them away because we think we need to hold on to what we've got, to our limited resources. We certainly do that as a society, right? That's something that's in the news a lot right now. We think we don't have enough, send them away. I think we probably do that as individuals too. Maybe that's something we can think about this week. How do we exclude people and say we don't have enough? But we get that send them away kind of attitude when we forget there is no them to send away. There's only us, all of us with the same needs, all of us with something to contribute. The disciples looked at the crowd and they thought, what have we got to give these people? I've lost my place. Yes. Yeah. Okay, but the disciples were hungry too, right? They were hungry, just like the people were. In fact, they might have been the hungriest people there that day. So maybe the question shouldn't have been, what have we got to feed these people? Maybe it should be, what do we all need? And how can God help, use me to help? Maybe those people actually weren't the problem that the disciples thought they were, or weren't just the problem. Maybe they were also part of the solution. Maybe Jesus didn't want the disciples to send them away because he knew that the crowd also had what the disciples needed. As we share what little we have, as we recognize that we all have the same needs and we all have something to give, we see our resources grow. Or sometimes we realize we actually don't need as much as we thought we did. It was as the disciples started to feed the crowd that they actually got fed, and that they even ended up taking home those big 12 doggy bags of leftovers. As I mentioned before, my family was very poor when I was growing up, but my parents were, and I would say still are, some of the most generous people that I have ever met. They shared everything they had, even though they had very little. There were always people in need living at our house. There were always people stopping around for meals. We had a picture on our wall that said this. It was a nicer picture than this, but this is what I could find online. It said, Heavenly Father bless us and keep us all alive. There's 10 of us for dinner and not enough for 5. That was not a joke in our house. That was a genuine prayer. The little we have to give is enough. Because it's not all there is. There are additional resources that come from God and that come from others. We just need to play our part. We are told to feed the hungry. That seems impossible. Yet we're invited to share the little we have with others and to watch God do a miracle. St. Basil the Great, a bishop and theologian from the 4th century, wrote this. The bread which you do not use is the bread of the hungry. The garment hanging in your wardrobe is the garment of him who is naked. The shoes that you do not wear are the shoes of the one who is barefoot. The money that you keep locked away is the money of the poor. I think if we could live with that attitude, of that in our minds, that really would be a miracle. We're going to take communion now. You might remember that on the night before Jesus died, he had a meal with his disciples, those closest friends of his who'd been there when he fed all those thousands of people. And Jesus took bread and wine, and he blessed them, and he said, when you eat and when you drink, remember me. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to take a small piece of cracker, not a big piece like this, but just a really small piece. And we're going to take some juice, not a big cup like this, but a really small one, deliberately small. These are small things, but we know that with God, God can do amazing things with small things. And we're going to remember that as we come to take communion. There are other small things we can do right now when the music starts. We can smile at one another. We can give each other a hug. We can pray for one another. If you want, you can light a candle as a prayer or write out a prayer and put it in the walls, and we'll pray for you in the week, or you can pray with someone at the back. We can make a financial gift, however small. There are a couple of young kids who've been giving recently. I know that because they decorate the envelopes. They draw pictures on them. And these are very small gifts, but whenever I see those envelopes, it really touches me. It makes me want to be generous the way they are being generous with the little that they have. So don't discount those little things. God can use little things for big impact. Maybe you just want to sit and to tell Jesus that you love him and listen to the music. God can use all of these small things, as small as they seem to us, to bring more love and more joy into the world. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for providing for us. We thank you that you give us all that we need. We thank you that you are a generous and abundant God. Please give us grateful hearts. Please help us to love like you love, to care for other people and to share what we have with them. And God, we thank you for this community. We thank you for the crackers and the juice that unite us in our love for you and for one another. Please use our little gifts, our little actions, our little faith to bring more love to the world. Amen. When you're ready, please come and take communion. Next week, we start a new series called God Quest.